I want to share a Christmas message today. I could easily, I don't know, just come with a point or two and send you on your way. You probably already have some family festivities happening this afternoon, or maybe you're finishing up your Christmas shopping. But I really feel this word in my heart today, and I don't want to be in a hurry to just turn the page, turn the calendar page to a new year, because someone needs this truth in your life. And today I want to talk to you about the trouble with Christmas, the trouble with Christmas. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The trouble with Christmas. When I say trouble, I'm not talking about packed parking lots. I'm not talking about tree lights that will not untangle, much less work when you plug them in. They worked last year. I don't know why they're not working this year. I'm not talking about Uncle Bam Bam who puts too much nog in his egg and gets on everybody's nerves at the family gathering, or even the batteries that you forgot, and the packaging on the toy. Not that kind of trouble. Instead, I want to talk about the trouble that went down on that first Christmas. The trouble we would be in without that first Christmas. Just find somebody on your row and tell them, "I knew you were trouble when you walked in today. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it." Here's the problem with the first Christmas, the first. And I'm just going to share three things with you today, and then we'll be on our way to those festivities. Sometimes the best presents come wrapped in peculiar packaging. Sometimes the best presents come wrapped in peculiar packaging. I don't know about you. I love buying the gift. I do not enjoy wrapping the gift. I'm a good giver. I'm a bad wrapper. Sometimes our best gifts from God come wrapped in the strangest ways. And if we're not careful, we'll set that package that you know, it's just wrapped in a strange way. It's not inviting, it's not enticing, it's not appealing, you don't pick it up and want to shake it. It does not breed curiosity for you. And if we're not careful, we'll set that over in the regifting pile. You know, we'll save that to be given at some other time, and maybe allow someone else the privilege of that particular gift. But I want you to look at this story as it unfolds. Verse 19, Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man And he did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. There's a lot of history here. There's a lot of protocol here. But if this kind of thing happened in that someone, you know, became expecting before the actual marriage, there was this big public display and public shaming, and all of that was a part of it. And Joseph obviously loved Mary. He did not want to do that public thing. He did not want to put her on blast. And but at the same time, Joseph was not going to marry her. He was feeling, you know, some kind of way. And you know, all of a sudden, this is the love of my life, and now she is a two-for-one package. This is not what I signed up for. This is not what I asked for. And just take a moment to consider how all of this went down. They're engaged. They're going to the Bed Bath and Beyond to get the registry situated, and while they're placing the items up there on the counter to be checked out, Mary sets a jar of prenatal vitamins up there on the counter, and Joseph is saying, what is all this? Wait a minute, hold on, just a minute, Mary, you're getting ahead of yourself. We need to get married. We need to spend some time just, you know, building a life together as newlyweds, as husband and wife. And Mary starts trying to explain, wait a minute, Joe, listen, it was an angel. This angel came to me the other day, and Joseph is just enraged. You tell me where Angelo lives, because I got something to say to him. I mean, this is a deal. Joseph is heartbroken. You see, this gift was wrapped in a very peculiar way. Joseph is believing he was cheated on, when in fact Joseph was receiving the very best gift he could have ever received. Sometimes the gifts in our lives, sometimes the things that the Lord wants us to have, they come wrapped in a peculiar way. And if we're not careful, we will miss it. Joseph would have the honor of raising the Son of God, teaching him to carpenter, teaching him to work wood, teaching him around the house. Joseph would have that privilege. He would literally spend more time with Jesus than any other human beside Mary, his mother. That's the kind of gift that was on the inside. But Joseph almost refused the gift because of the packaging. What was on the inside didn't match what you could see on the outside. How often does this happen to us? You see, Christmas teaches us not to see things according to how they are wrapped, that we should not be so hasty to a conclusion. Give me just a moment to tell you about the Apostle Paul, who wrote so much of the New Testament and is responsible for teaching us Christian disciplines and the way to walk in purity before the Lord. Paul lived this as well, because Paul prayed three different times, Lord, will you take this thorn from my flesh? We don't know what the thorn was. History speculates that it could have been eye problems, or that Paul suffered from malaria, or even had debilitating migraines, or maybe even had epilepsy, or that possibly it was speech issues. They even speculate that it was a person, Alex the coppersmith, with whom Paul had serious beef and difficulty getting along with. We don't know what it was. We don't know what the thorn was, but we know that Paul pleaded with God in three lengthy prayer sessions. Yes, that Paul, the Apostle Paul, who had been beaten, who had been shipwrecked, who had been left for dead countless times, the same guy who preached for more than 30 years and brought in these incredible, powerful churches, preaching all over the then known world. Paul did not get his prayer answered, but instead, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, each time, my grace is all you need, God, the Lord speaking to Paul. My power works best in weakness. So Paul said, now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. So now, when I don't get what I want, his grace is enough. So now, when I am not healed, his grace is enough. So now, when things do not work the way I want them to work, I'm left to say, your grace is enough. Now, when I'm sidelined by injury or do not get the job I've been hoping for, or when someone else gets my promotion, guess what? His grace is still enough. And his grace will always be enough. Because sometimes I prayed for God to deliver me from it when his plan was to deliver me in it. There's a difference. In other words, I've been set free inwardly, even though I'm still dealing with it outwardly. I'm free on the inside, even though my circumstances have not caught up to the spiritual freedom I am walking in or enjoying in this freedom season. It is packaging. And I need somebody to hear me on this Christmas Sunday. God is more interested in your internal condition than he is your external context. Because development is still greater than comfort. Some of you have spent 2024 learning that. Some of you have spent this year feeling that. Some of you are still trying to untangle yourself and unwind yourself and climb up out of holes and difficulties and learning, wait a minute, I wanted comfort for Christmas and instead I got development. I wanted glad tidings and instead I got another opportunity to learn and to grow and to mature and to become everything that God needs me to become. Because if he needs to leave, if he needs to leave a few things undone in my life to get me where he wants me, guess what? He will do it. He will do it. He will do it. And so you look at this nativity scene that is really not so pretty. We have a mental image of this cozy and sweet, I think they call them barn dominiums now. Real fancy word for I sleep in a stable. Because if we can't fix the circumstance, we just call it, we just elevate the terminology and we just elevate the word and the description. And you go read sometimes descriptions of houses, you know, they make it sound so appealing and it's so flowery. And then you drive by and you're like, wait a minute, this thing is falling down. This is not nice at all. But we just get better descriptions even if we cannot get better circumstances. And so we see this birthing center. We see this place of coming into the world for Jesus, and it's rough. It's not romantic. It's not even close to hygienic. It was terrible wrapping, but the terrible wrapping did not impact the miracle that was on the inside. That's why before you leave this service today, I'm inviting you to take another look at your life. You may not like the packaging. You may not like the circumstance. You may not like the diagnosis, but that does not impact the miracle that God is doing on the inside of you. Is anybody thankful that the packaging, while peculiar, it does not mean that there is not something powerful happening on the inside? One of my favorite lines from the Christmas story is when Mary accepted her call, when she accepted her role in this event. Luke 1 and 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Mary was surprised by this word from the Lord. "How can this be? What are you talking about, Mr. Angel? How? What do you mean the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow me and I'm going to conceive and there's a baby inside of me? I'm going to call his name. What in the world are you talking about? Nevertheless, let it happen just as you said. Let it be just as you declared. Let it come just as you promised." Mary had been surprised by this word from the Lord. Let me ask you today, does God have permission to surprise you? Does God have permission to come from some other direction and some other way and through some other avenue that you were not expecting? Does he have permission to fulfill his glory and his miracle wonder in your life? Does he have permission to surprise? I say, Lord, the next few days before we get to the new year, you have permission to surprise me and come and work and move and heal and help. Lord, I'm ready to receive whatever you have for me. Mary consented. She said, "I am your servant. I wonder, is there anything you've not been willing to surrender to God? I wonder, is there anything I have been unwilling to surrender to God? I lay everything on the altar. I almost completely empty my pockets when I get in the presence of the Lord. I almost completely empty myself except for that one thing, except for that one area that I hold back, and I think I'm hiding it real good. I think I'm covering it up, good. And no one, especially the Lord, cannot see and does not know. But he is saying, hey, I want you to give it all to me so that I can do my all in you. Mary and Joseph, they both accepted their responsibility. They accepted their response, but both of them are full of faith. They're trying to sort out all of the details. And then look, their consent is rewarded with chaos. That's the second trouble with Christmas. Consent can be rewarded with chaos. They open the mail, and hello, tax bill. You see, adulting means anxiety when you go to the mailbox. There's a little extra special this time of year because there may be a card in there or maybe a package or something has arrived, someone you haven't heard from. But as a general rule, when you become an adult, the mailbox is not nearly as exciting as it once was. And it wasn't for Mary and Joseph because there is the unexpected tax bill. There's no e-file options. You got to pay this in person in the city of your birth. And I think you're starting to feel their stress because Mary and Joseph are going to travel by donkey and by foot. She's 9 months along, and they have about 90 miles to go between Nazareth and Bethlehem. This is a 7 to 10 day trip. 9 months along. This is nothing but stress, but they finally arrive. We're there. Come on, one more corner, Mary. If you can just hold on, we're almost there. This donkey gonna carry you just 50 more feet if you can just hold on. They finally arrive, and Mary's trying to straighten her back, and Mary's trying to find her legs again, and Mary's feet are swollen, and Mary don't even want to be married to Joseph anymore. I mean, Jesus, who? I'm sick of this whole thing that's happening in my life. Mary's in some kind of mood, and then Joseph comes out of the inn and says, Mary, I don't know how to tell you this, but there's no room in the inn. I mean, I don't know if you want to call Angelo. I thought he knew this was happening. I thought they knew. You would think the Lord would have been prepared for this. He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's had all kind of time to prepare this moment. But you know, necessity is the mother of invention. And now we got Expedia and Priceline and Booking.com. This is a surprise because their consent led to chaos. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like, you know what, I said yes to the Lord and then everything spun crazy in my world? I opened my heart to God. I fully surrendered to the Lord and I don't know, it just seems like the harder I work, the more challenging life becomes. It seems like the more faithful I am, the more dedicated I am, the more difficult life becomes. And it leaves me saying, what? Why? What in the world is going on in my life? This doesn't make sense. Listen, this goes back a lot further than you. The disciples obeyed and boated themselves right into the middle of a storm. The shepherds followed a star to a dirty stable, because in life, stable happens. Difficulty happens. Challenge happens. Maybe God is preparing us for blessing, but knows we need humility in order to handle the blessing. Maybe what God is doing in us and what God is preparing in us is going to require stamina that can only be built in a stable. I wonder, can Christmas remind us that there is always a test prior to promotion? That there is always a struggle prior to spiritual breakthrough. If you want promotion but can't handle pressure, guess what? The promotion is going to be delayed. I can want to run an Ironman, swim, bike, and run 27, 30 miles, but if I get winded going up a flight of stairs, the blessing is going to require stamina. The breakthrough is going to require holding on and staying faithful, even in the face of chaos. Doing God's will in our lives, it requires stamina, and you have to work up to that. You have to build up to that. Some of y'all been in church for about 2 weeks now and already frustrated that things are not just turning. You need to keep coming. Stay faithful, stay planted, start serving somewhere, find somewhere that you can dig a heel in and say, you know what, I tried that for a long time, doing everything my way, and I'm not doing that. I'm going into this new year with my mind made up and my heart fixed and my spirit certain about what God is calling and what God is asking and what God is requiring in my life. There may be some chaos, but that's all right, I consented to it. Joseph and Mary experienced nothing but chaos from the moment they consented to God's will in their life. But you know what? The Savior of the world was being born through them. They would raise the Savior, and the Savior would raise them. In the middle of chaos, God in flesh was born. Emmanuel, God with us. In the middle of chaos, wise men showed up with gifts. In the middle of it's wild to me how our bad season are also blessed seasons. It's amazing that our struggle seasons are also spiritual seasons. Charles Dickens said it was the best of times and the worst of times. All of it happening at the same time. That's the trouble of Christmas. What we label trouble is often what takes us to the treasure. 2024, it may have brought pain, but you're postured to receive now. It may have brought difficulty, but you're in position to see God do something great in your life. What looks like decrease is really God adding to our lives by subtracting. He's removing some things. He's cutting some things away. He's taking some things away, but he's building us and adding to us at the same time. One door is closing so that he can open the other door. Maybe God has you where you are so that he can give you what you need. And that leads us to the last and final trouble. Because the third trouble with Christmas is that we can easily miss the miracle. We can easily miss the miracle. You say, no way, no. This is one thing I'm not going to miss. I am not going to miss the miracle of Christmas because it is lit up in red and green and pink today. We got pink today. You can't miss this. No way. I mean, there's lights everywhere and lots of them twinkle. There's no way to miss this miracle. In journalism, they have a saying, don't bury the lead. So they put the main point in the first paragraph because they don't want you to miss it. It's much different than a novel. In a novel, they're trying to bury the lead. They've got it all packed inside of mystery and the point is shrouded. They want you to keep reading and keep turning pages. They're trying to misdirect you at every point. But Jesus says, I want to help you out. I don't want you to miss the point. So in John 16:33, he said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I'm leveling with you. I'm telling you up front how this is gonna go. I'm telling you right in your first altar that the world is full of trouble. But you just gave your life to me, and I have overcome the world, which means by default, you are going to overcome the world as well. I am victorious, so that means you are going to be victorious too. I have conquered. That means you are conquering as well. That's why I'm telling you this, so that in me you may have peace. Because we get so focused on the world's trouble. I know it's there. It's there. We've all got the news muted because we're sick of all that. We just wanna stare at these twinkling lights and just have a little more fun this season. I'm right there with you. The trouble is not going away. There's war, there's anger, there's brokenness. And here comes Christmas, and more trouble. From travel to gifts to finances and family and trouble. And it's true, Christmas has some trouble. It was conceived in trouble. But you know what? You and I would be in trouble without Christmas. There will be trouble in this world, but there is also peace. In me you have peace, Jesus said. Don't bury the lead. Peace is the message of Christmas. Your peace may be wrapped in a peculiar package. You may be well acquainted with chaos and just craziness all around. But I am not going to miss the miracle this Christmas. Would you stand with me across the room?